of Garner. Just standing here thinking about it, looking back over my life. Lord, you sure been good to me. When I was down and out, didn't have a dime, you made a way for me so many times. Lord, you bought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Yes, you have. You've been good to me. Oh, yes. Master, you've been a mother for me. And Lord, you've been a father too. You didn't leave me, you stayed right by my side. And when my troubles came, only you, Lord, wiped the tears from my eyes. I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave. Oh, but you made my enemies, yeah. Lord, you bought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Yeah, you bought me. Yes, you bought me, Lord, from a mighty long way. You bought me from a mighty long way. You bought me, Lord, from a mighty, mighty long way. I thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I gotta say thank you. Lord, you bought me from a mighty, mighty long way. Thank you for my mother. I thank you for my father. I thank you for my sister. I thank you for my brother. I thank you when I'm up. I thank you when I'm down. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you when I'm sick. I thank you when I'm well. I thank you. 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 I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Lord, you bought me. the morning. I thank you at noonday. I thank you at midnight. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for keeping me. I thank you for saving me. I thank you. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Lord, you bought me from a mighty, mighty long way.
Hallelujah. He's been good. Oh, yes, he has. God bless you, choir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And Father, we pray that you would speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us of your goodness, of your grace, of your mercy, such that in all things we would be compelled to give you the praise. We thank you right now for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. Father, we thank you for what you're getting ready to do. We thank you for these and all blessings in that name that is above every name. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. As you remain standing, and for those of you who are sitting, if you can stand, we ask that you would please stand at this time as we shall read our scripture passage for today, which is found in the book of Psalms, the 119th number, verses 103 through 105. Psalm 119, verses 103 through 105. Amen. When you found that, say amen. Before we read that, I would that you would repeat our motto after me. Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is a church of real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. Amen. Amen. Now let us read our scripture passage, Psalm 119, verses 103 through 105. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And then verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As you take your seats, I would that you would think with us in terms of a subject for this last Sunday of 2018. Amen. Making God the priority in 2019. Amen. Making God the priority. Thank you, ushers. A story is told of a man who called the doctor. He told the doctor, he said, "Doctor, my wife is having problems hearing, and I want to bring her to your office to get you to check her out." So the doctor said, "Well, what I need you to do before you bring her to me, I want you to check her out at home first." And the man said, "Well, doctor, how do I do that?" The doctor said, "Well, ask her something from the other side of the room and keep getting closer until she responds to what you've said." So the man goes home, and the wife is in the kitchen making dinner, and he gets on the other side of the kitchen, and he says in a normal tone, he said, "Honey, is dinner about ready?" He didn't hear anything. So he moves a little closer to the center of the kitchen, and he says, "Honey, is dinner about ready?" He still doesn't hear anything. So he gets right up behind her, and he asks her again. He says, "Honey, is dinner about ready?" And this time she turned around and she said, for the third time, yes. Y'all will get it when you get home. Amen. He was the one with the hearing problem. Amen. And isn't it amazing how we can so often be wrong and we can be the one with the problem, and yet we cast that off on other folk. We project, amen, we project our problems off on other folk. That's one of the problems I have with some of our national leaders. They are never wrong. Everything that they do is right. And whenever they are wrong, they cast that off on somebody else. And I don't know about y'all, but that's not real leadership in my mind. Because a real leader, as we've been taught in times past with some of our national leaders, I forget who it was, I think it may have been Eisenhower, who said the buck stops here. And in essence, what he was saying is that whenever something goes wrong, amen, even if somebody else is at fault, but because I'm at the helm, because I'm the leader, ultimately the problem is mine. Do I have any witnesses here today? But as we get ready to close out this year and go into a new year, I think this is a good time for us to take a retrospective look and an introspective look and examine some of the things that transpired in this year that we hope will not happen in the new year. And I've come by this Sunday morning to tell you that you've got responsibility, that you've got a lot to do with, amen, what your new year is going to be like. See, we a lot of times we use escapism. When stuff goes wrong, we say, you know, oh, the devil, oh, my haters, amen. Even when we mess up, we're quick to say, the devil made me do it. But I've come by this morning to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that if you're going to have a blessed and prosperous and successful new year, there are some things you're going to have to take responsibility for. There are some things you're going to have to change. There are some things you're going to have to start doing that you haven't been doing. As a matter of fact, by the end of this message, I will have told you that one of the things you're going to have to do is examine your own self. Amen. And we ought to thank God for a new year. Do you know why it's called a new year? It's called a new year because it gives us a chance to start over. There's a Greek word, tabula rasa, and that word means that God oftentimes, what he does in his grace and his mercy with us is he wipes the slate clean. Don't you hear him saying that your sins he will throw into a sea of forgetfulness and he ain't going to bring them up? Now, that ain't no promise that your enemies ain't going to bring them up. That's not a promise that even you sometimes, even us sometimes, we don't move forward because we're caught up with our past. But I hear Paul saying, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. Come on, where are my folk who know that sometimes to move forward, you've got to press your way. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes the situation and circumstances are not conducive to you moving forward and moving ahead. But every now and then, you've got to knock yourself upside the head and say, I'm going to forget what I did yesterday, and I'm going to trust God for my tomorrow. Do I have any people here today who are trusting God for your tomorrow? And so one of the things we've got to do is we've got to realign our priorities. I don't want you to respond publicly, but let me ask you, what are your priorities? Amen. If I was to ask you, what is your number one priority? Most of you would look at me and say, well, Pastor, since we're in church, amen, my number one priority is God. That's how most of us would respond. If I gave you an opportunity to answer that question publicly, you would say that God is number one. But I need to tell you that if God is number one, it ought to be evident in your life. If God is your number one priority, there ought to be some signs. Oh, y'all gonna get quiet on me. If God is your number one priority, no one should have to pump you up. No one should have to prod you to get you to praise him. If God is your number one priority, nobody should have to force you and beg you to come to Bible study and come to Sunday school. If God is your number one priority, folk ought not have to browbeat you to get you to treat folk the way the Bible wants you to treat them. If God is your number one priority, it ought to be evident, watch this, not just on Sunday, not just when you have a problem. Do I have any witnesses here today? If God is number one, it ought to show up in your life. I was looking on the internet at the percentages of resolutions that people made for this year, 2018. I was looking at the percentages, the breakdown of what types of resolutions people made for 2018. And am I the only one here today who made some resolutions in January of this year that didn't quite, come on, am I by myself? Amen. I said I was going to lose 100 pounds this year. And I'm close. Amen. I'm about 97 pounds away. But I'm moving. Amen. But this was the breakdown. This was the breakdown. 53% of the people surveyed said that in 2018 they were going to save some money. 45%, here's my group, said they were going to lose weight or get in shape. I did get in shape. I'm a shape. Amen. 25% said, and maybe I shouldn't say this one because we got children in here. Amen. But I guess that's how they got here. 25% said they were going to have more sex. Moving right along. 24% said they were going to travel more. 23% said they were going to read more books. 22% said they were going to learn a new skill or a hobby. 21% said they were going to buy a house. 16% said they were going to quit smoking. And 15% said, and this threw me off, they were going to find love. It threw me off because 25% said they were going to have more sex. 15% said they were going to find love. Moving right along. So let's go back to priorities for a second. Now, we said that surely the answer should be God is number one, but notice that list again. Did you hear me mention any resolution concerning God? It's not there. I looked at another survey by the Barner Group. The Barner Group, they do surveys on Christianity. And the Barner Group said that one out of every four Christians, 23%, a little less than one out of four of Christians, place their faith in God at the top of the priority list. One out of four Christians surveyed place God at the top of their priority list. The majority of people are focused on the here and now and not on their relationship with God. Now, please hear me correctly. I do believe that it's important to improve our health and our relationships, to be better in these areas of our lives. But the best way to improve your relationships, the best way to improve your financial life and your financial standing is to get your life right with God. Do I have any witnesses here today who have finally figured out that if I can get it right with God, the other stuff has a way of falling in place? Well, it's my prayer that the new year, this new year that is approaching, will mark the beginning of a time in our lives and in the life of this church that we will focus our priorities on Christ and praising Him for all that transpires in our lives and to give Him thanks. After all, that's what 1 Corinthians 10:31 says. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And I pray, Pleasant Hill, that in the new year we will put God first and do whatever we do in His name. Did you hear what I said? I said that we will do whatever we do in His name. There's a problem there, because there's some stuff we can't do in His name. And that tells me that if we're going to establish God as a priority in our lives and we're going to do what we do in His name, and there are some things we cannot do in His name, it means there are some things we're going to have to let go of. It means that there are some things that we're doing, and if you can't do it in his name, you ought not be. Y'all are going to get real quiet on me here today. Amen. Some stuff we're going to have to leave in 2018. And so today, I want us to prepare for a New Year's examination. And for this examination, I want to give us three practice prescriptions to help us make sure that everything we do in 2019 will be focused on putting God first in our lives. The first priority that we need to have, if we're going to have a Christ-centered 2019, we need to study God's word. Tell your neighbor, that's number one. If you're going to have a Christ-centered 2019, you need to make that a priority in your life, that you're going to study God's word. If you look in Acts 17 and 11, if you look in Acts 17 and 11, I don't know if y'all can get it on the screen quick enough, but if not, use your Bibles. Y'all still need to bring Bibles to church. Amen. I know we have the screen, and some of you ought to have it on your phone where you just plug it in and it comes right up. Acts 17 and 11, if you have it, say amen. Acts 17 and 11 says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Let me read it one more time. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Why were they of more noble character? It says, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now, in order for you to understand this, you need to understand that Paul and Silas were on their missionary journey, and they had just gone through Thessalonica. And now they are in Berea. Well, when they were in Thessalonica, they caused a whole lot of turmoil because they were preaching and teaching about Jesus, and those people in Thessalonica didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. They did not believe what Paul was preaching. They did not accept what he was preaching, and so they were complaining and murmuring. There was great confusion and turmoil. But now he's in Berea, and in Berea, it says that they were of more noble character than the folk in Thessalonica. Why? They were of more noble character because instead of complaining, instead of fussing and cussing, instead of murmuring, amen, the Bible says that what they did is they got in the word. Tell your neighbor, you need to get in the word. They said, instead of us fussing and complaining about what Paul and Silas were preaching and teaching, they said, we're going to get in this Bible and study for ourselves and determine for ourselves if what they're saying is true. And let me tell you, there are a lot of good preachers and teachers on the TV, on the radio, amen, even in churches. But my brothers and sisters, let me tell you, you ought to become an authority on God's word for yourself. You ought to be so in tune with the word of God that when somebody gets up and says something, you ought to have studied it for yourself, and you know for yourself whether or not it's true. Amen. For years, I've been saying, when praises go up, blessings will come down. When praises go up, amen. Y'all, you want to get black church folk excited? That's all you need to say. When praises go up, blessings will come down. But then when I started trying to find scripture to support that, amen, I discovered that God ain't so crazy that just because we praise him, he's going to bless us. God is looking for some other stuff too. He wants to know that we're obeying his word. Oh, y'all getting real quiet on me. Amen, amen. Do y'all understand that not everybody blowing in a mic is really blessing God? Do y'all understand that everybody singing and every preacher saying Jesus, amen, is not necessarily moving the heart of God in such a way that he will pour and shower out? Some folk, amen, are real good praisers, but they are too mean for God to shower them with blessings. And y'all have heard me say this before. If you want the blessings of God, watch this. You've got to do what he's blessing. And I hate to say it, but there's some mess we're doing that he ain't blessing. But I had to get in the word and study it for myself. And now y'all won't hear me saying when praises go up, blessings come down. No, because that ain't always true. Do I have a witness today? The Bible is filled with many great and exciting truths, and you and I need to invest time in the Word every day so that we can draw closer to Christ and understand His will for our lives and for the world. The Bible is our sword, and we're supposed to use it to enable us to draw closer to Christ. Amen. We need to examine the Bible. Listen, don't take my word for it. Get in there and discover what life's greatest purpose is. Get in it and discover what God has promised for you. If you want to draw closer to God, then we've got to be willing to read His book. 2 Timothy 2:15. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Come on, nudge that neighbor. Wake him up and tell him, if you're going to have a good year, amen, you got to study the word. Study the word. The best thing that we can do is to get involved in God's word. There are plenty of opportunities right here at Pleasant Hill to get in the word. You can come to Sunday school, amen. Find you a good Sunday school class and make a connection with the Bible. Plug into our Wednesday night Bible studies. Those are opportunities to help you get in the Word. But let me tell you, if there's no Sunday school, if there is no Wednesday night service, you still ought to be studying the Word of God. You got to study His Word. Amen, amen. And I hear some of you saying, but Pastor, you don't understand. I got a 9-to-5, and I got children. I got to get the children out of school and out of daycare, and I got to cook dinner. And y'all act like I don't know what living is all about. I have to live the same life you live. And I understand that it gets busy, and the world and life has a way of consuming your time and your energy. But is there anybody here who understands that it's so important? You've got to make time to study His Word. Oh, my. The folk in the gym impress me. I'm talking about them gym heads, you know. Amen. They may miss lunch, but they're going to be in the gym. My nephew told me one day we were riding along, Sister Green, and he looked at me and said, you know what? I said, what? He said, I forgot to eat today. I said, what? Where they do that at? I forgot to go to the gym, but I didn't forget to eat. Do I have any witnesses here today? But we've got to be that committed to the study of His Word, that just like the folk who ain't gonna miss gym, and I got some friends on Facebook, amen, 3 a.m. before they get to the job, they at the gym working out, amen, midnight. Couldn't get there today, so at midnight, they in the gym working out. God bless them. That's how we need to be about His Word. His Word. The best thing that we can do is to get involved in God's Word. Amen, 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 amen. But then the second thing we've got to prioritize is not only should we study His Word, but here's the second thing we need to make a priority in this new year, Pleasant Hill, not only that we study His Word, but that we share His Word. Oh, my, oh, my, we've got to be willing vessels to let somebody know what the gospel means to us. The great evangelist Dwight Moody was once criticized for his evangelistic methods. It was then that Dr. Moody replied to the person criticizing him because he was always talking evangelism, evangelism. It said that Dr. Moody was so serious about evangelism that at his church, before he hired a janitor, he wanted to know not only how well do you clean, but he wanted to know how often do you witness. Before you could be a musician or a choir director, amen, he didn't want to just know about your gifts and your musical skills. Dr. Moody said, I want to know about your witness. And so this person criticized him about his evangelistic